I especially liked her correlation between the benefit of the ibuprofen maintaining her temperature just low enough that she could be comfortable, but all the time preventing herself from healing herself, and what we do with our activities in a soulish environment where we appease our soul and it makes us feel good and we think that's God and we call it God and move forward. It kind of goes to the things we've been talking about the last few weeks about the difference between the spirit and the soul and what happens when we stimulate the soul. So I want to pick up, you know, we've left the last couple of weeks about yoga and meditation and things like that. I would have thought meditation was, or I did think at one time meditation was something we should be engaged in. It was quite a revelation through that discussion with Dr. Ben about why we as Christians don't need to meditate, where we are sitting in the presence of God in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. But I wanted to pick up and go on and really this today speaks to us and it also speaks to y'all's patience, I think. I want to talk about the love of the truth. There is a characteristic in the people of God known as the love of the truth. I think it's Romans that says, what can separate you from the love of God? Mountains, earthquakes, floods, famines. And we've always, or I used to always think that that was about God's love for me. One day I was in the shower and I was kind of reciting that. I think it's part of the lyrics of a song, but anyway, as I stepped out of the shower, the Holy Spirit said, would you like to know what that really means? I said, well, sure. And he said, you think it is God's love for you, that nothing will ever separate you from God's love for you. But he said, earthquakes and famines and things such as that have no impact on God. What that is saying is there's an element in your character known as the love of God, and nothing will ever take that away from you. It's my love for Him that will endure the earthquakes and the famines and the things. It's your love of Him that will endure the earthquakes and the famines. The love of the truth, the love of God, is what we breathe. It's what we live by. Later on, just as a sidebar, God told me one night, Sam and I were in Oskarshamn, Sweden, and we had ministered to about 65 kids. And the Lord made me aware of a gift that He put in this generation, this third generation from me, of kids, that He had placed the element of the love of truth in them. And that's why they didn't care for our traditions and practices, because they didn't see any truth in them. They watched us go to church on Sunday and live like hell on Monday, and it just didn't make sense to them, and they wouldn't have it. But if you present the truth to them, it comes forth. So it was just another confirmation of this being an element in us. And so I want to speak a little bit, just very briefly, about the love of the truth. I want to take you to, this is 2 Thessalonians 2:9, starting there, and it says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but delighted in wickedness. The other version says, took pleasure in wickedness. Got a lot of scriptures to read to you today, so bear with me. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out, and others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And when the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Note what he said, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Not the gospel of salvation nor the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the mysteries of the kingdom. Kingdom there, if we look at that word, sovereignty and royal power is how it's defined. So what he's talking about there, if you're talking about the sovereignty of heaven or the sovereignty of God. "But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has to him more, whoever has to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, "You will keep on hearing but not understand. You will keep on seeing but not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you have seen and did not see it, and to hear what you heard, to hear what you hear and did not hear it." And then he goes on to explain the parable of the sowing. In Thessalonians, he's talking about when the man of lawlessness was released, or when the... It really is describing about a season when the one who has restrained the man of lawlessness is released, that he would move through the earth. Now, the man of lawlessness is the counterfeit Christ, or the Antichrist. As I've said before, as surely as the body of Christ is a many-membered part, you can trust that the Antichrist is a many-membered part. It's a direct counterfeit to what the body of Christ is. It's our thought, my thought, and some other people's thought, that this man, that this thing that restrained the man of lawlessness was removed in sometime in 13 or 14. And so the man of lawlessness has been free to do what he's doing. And one of the things is signs and wonders to serve the lie that he's the real deal. I think that's part of what we ran into last week when we were talking about how some people can get relief from doing soulish activities, actually stimulating their soul, and doing things that are outside the will of God, but they get relief, and so they, you know, they're impressed with it. That these are the signs and wonders to support that lie. So, and the only combat to it is the love of the truth. You can't, we don't have time nor authority to put down all the lies, all the deception of Satan, all the counterfeits that's going on. We're not going to have time to put them out. The only thing we have time and authority to do is to present the truth and let the ones who have the love of the truth come to that. But we don't, there's no value in us pointing out what is wrong. We need to be raising up what is right. Pointing out the, we have to, Scripture says we want to learn to discern the schemes of the devil, but one of the ways we know the schemes of the devil, there are so many schemes, there's no way you could ever train yourself for all of them, but if you're trained in the truth, the schemes of the devil can't get you. You know, if you hang on to that, if you know what is true. Now, you know, Randy gave us a pretty good lesson today about how we've been deceived into things, and so we really have to be careful. But let's look at at this, the scriptures we read. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake, and such large crowds gathered around him that he got in a boat and sat in it, where all the people stood on the shore. And then he told him many things in parable, speaking of a farmer going out into sowing. And he was scattering the seed along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Later on in that same verse, he describes that, and he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, and y'all, I believe your message, the Veritas message, truth, is part of the gospel of the kingdom. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts, and this is the seed that was sown along the path. So we're going to have those who just aren't going to understand, and Satan will rob them totally of what y'all are saying, what y'all are teaching. It says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Now, your patience is going to start popping up in your head now. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. First time the thing gets tested. Oh, I like my sugar. Yeah, I want to eat whatever. It's my kid's birthday party. I need to do this. The testing will cause them to fall away. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. The seed falling among the thorn refers to someone who hears a word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. I'm going to say probably that's the biggest deception that we have. The cares of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life becomes the biggest distraction from us hearing the truth, whether we're talking purely about the sovereignty of God and His kingdom, or we're talking about the sovereignty of God in y'all's practice and how wellness comes to people. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it, and this is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. I think without a doubt, Ronnie and, well, y'all as practitioners, but Ronnie and Vicki and I have seen that clearly down there. When you begin to speak about the things of the kingdom of God, when the things that will bring peace, the righteousness, peace, and joy aspect of this thing, we've seen every one of these descriptions come through down there. We've seen some that just flatly rejected it from the get-go. It's too much more trouble than it was worth. We have seen those who got really excited and sprang up, and we thought they'd be there forever, and a little trouble came in, it withered away. We've seen those who did very well for a while, and the busyness of life robbed them of their peace. But we've also seen a great number who have heard and have received and have carried out. Some of them the most surprising ones. Some that we never thought. They'd walk out of our office and we'd think, no way. That's the side of the path, and the birds are on their way to get that one. And they would go home and come back and have fully received it and totally transformed their life. What I would like for y'all to walk away from this today is to know that there is a people who has been given the love of the truth. The difference between what appears to be your success and your failure, which we know it's really not yours, either one, but the difference in that is going to come down to that element in those people's life. How hungry, how much do they love the truth, and how willing are they to receive the truth and to walk in it? You call yourself Veritas, and so you're going to be, you're on the firing line to offend people. You're going to say things, you're going to do things that people aren't going to like, people aren't going to buy, and they're going to reject it totally. But for those who have ears to hear and those who have eyes to see, you're of great, great value to them. And there are, the harvest will be 100 or 60 or 30-fold in the ways you impact their lives. So stand strong, stand firm. You're going to have to say some unpopular things. Dr. Ben's going to hand the PRACS tomorrow some information dealing with some of the stuff we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks that's as black and white as you can get, as clear as ever. That will not be popular. It will go against many of your colleagues, maybe some of your personal friends. But dealing with these things like yoga and stuff like that we've talked about the last few weeks, it's very black and white in what they say and see about it. That element will cause some people to dislike you. But we have to come to the place. It has to be resolved in us. We're not here for a popularity contest. We're here to represent our Father. What someone thinks of us doesn't matter. We don't live. No longer us who lives, but Christ who lives within us. Our desire to be the exact representation of our Heavenly Father is what makes us get up every day. That's got to be what gets us up every day. And the distinct privilege of getting to present the truth every day should bring you joy. Getting to be a part of the house of God that puts on display the grace and character of your Father in heaven should be enough to excite us every day. And along the way, if it costs us, that's fine. If we get rejected or stoned or beaten, I think some of us will, that's just part of the game. But we are here to represent the truth so those who have a sincere love of the truth can be drawn closer to their Father in heaven. It's not a game. It's clearly getting more and more serious. I think from the time we started these luncheons until today, the intensity is 30, 40, 50-fold to me. The shaking of the world is at a higher pace. The needs of the people are greater. The pain and suffering is greater. But the effort on our part to present the truth can bring even a greater measure of relief faster. Where this great is, there's a measured portion of God's love to be represented to bring relief to them. So as things intensify in and around y'all's office, as things intensify in our lives, as we go through the fire also. We talked earlier this year about how 2017 represented an overcoming of the evil one, that those numbers, numerology, that's what they mean. When I first spoke that, I thought, well, that's good. God's going to go out and slap the devil and we're going to have a heyday. I didn't realize that in completely overcoming the evil one meant that everything in us that wasn't of God has to be overcome. If some of you are wondering about your circumstances right now, that's what the issue is. God is revealing what's in us that's not like Him so that we can overcome the evil one. And it's how He tests us to know with confidence that we're capable of handling the things of God. So that when the new heaven and new earth is given to us, He can hand it to us with great confidence. So I don't anticipate things getting easier anytime soon. I think you're going to be, it's just a, we're a steady path of intensity, but there's a steady supply of God's grace in the form of faith toward God. He's building your faith. He's giving you more and more faith so that you'll be prepared to represent Him adequately. We cannot give out of an empty well or sack or bag or whatever it is. We can't proclaim peace if we don't have peace. So if you're unsettled in yours, you know, get with the Lord and start seeing what it is. Repentance goes a long way to fixing a lot of this stuff. I'll tell you for sure, personally, from an act of repentance last week. But it does a lot to heal it. But if you don't have peace, it's hard for you to impart it to someone else. It's impossible. You can't sail out of an empty wagon. So if you don't have peace, make sure you're talking to the Lord, and if Vicki or Ronnie or I can help you in any way, let us know, because it's important for y'all to have that aspect in y'all's life, so when y'all testify to your patients that it's important, they can see it on your face too. Questions or comments over the last 2 or 3 weeks concerning yoga, concerning soul spirit, concerning love of the truth? Anybody have a question? Comment? Declaration. Okay. Some of y'all are late, so I guess we better let you go. See y'all next week.